Welcome to Sports Spectrum, where we bring Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, former ESPN producer Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. It is the 20th anniversary of September 11th, 2001, and the attacks on the World Trade Center in New York and certainly in Pennsylvania and in D.C. and just such an incredible moment for our country, an incredible amount of tragedy. And just thinking back 20 years, I was 27, almost 28 years old, and it's just crazy to think about where I was and what was happening. And I wanted to honor this day in a proper way, and I thought, who would be someone to have on and talk to and share their memories from September 11th, and certainly having it be in the lens of sports and faith. And so we were able to get Andy Pettitte, the longtime New York Yankees pitcher. He's actually the all-time strikeout leader in New York Yankees history when you think about all of the pitchers and players and legends that have come through the Bronx and pitching for the New York Yankees. Andy also has the most postseason wins in Major League Baseball history, 256 career wins, 42nd all-time, and a five-time World Series champion with the New York Yankees. And I just thought he'd be the perfect guy to have on and kind of look back at that time 20 years ago, a season in which the Yankees ended up going all the way to the World Series before losing to the Arizona Diamondbacks in seven games in a dramatic Game 7 that saw Luis Gonzalez hit a game-winning single to win the game for Arizona and win the series for Arizona. But a time where a nation was hurting, a city, specifically New York City, was hurting, and Andy Pettitte was one of many players on the New York Yankees who was trying to provide some respite for those people in New York, for the fans, for the first responders. And I thought he'd be the perfect guy to talk to on this 20th anniversary of September 11th. So take a listen to my conversation here on Sports Spectrum with Andy Pettitte, longtime New York Yankees pitcher, right here on Sports Spectrum. Andy Pettitte, 8 years since you pitched in a baseball game. Does it feel like it's been 8 years?
Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, that's for sure. But yeah, you know, the time just flies. The old saying, the older you get, the faster it goes. And that's so true, especially when you've got kids and you watch what's going on. And heck, man, I'm a grandpa now. I mean, I got a grandbaby and I got another one on the way. It's going to be here in a few months. So two grandkids. I definitely feel like I've been out for a bit.
Wow. Does that make the hair grayer as you get older when you add grandkids to the mix? I have to imagine.
Yeah. You know, the grandkids are pretty easy. You know, the kids you got to raise. And of course, you want to raise them and obviously hope that the biggest thing is that they grow up to love the Lord and follow Jesus and stuff like that. And of course, but with the grandkids, man, it's more of just, hey, whatever you want, you know, it's a little girl and another one on the way. And we spoiled them rotten probably too much. And we got to let mom and daddy take care of the raising them and doing the things with them. You know, the things that you stress about as a parent, you know, raising kids. The stress is not quite there with the grandbaby, that's for sure.
So are you just grandpa or do you have like a cool little, you know, unique grandfather nickname?
Yeah, I love it. I was supposed to be Pops with a P, which is, you know, pretty common, I think. But Presley has trouble pronouncing her P's a little bit. So she calls me Bop. And The older she gets, I don't want to be Pop. I want to be Bop for the rest of my life. So I love it.
That's great. Andy Pettitte's here with us on Sports Spectrum. As people are listening to this, today is the 20th anniversary. It's so hard to say that, of 9/11. You, of course, were with the Yankees that year, having another good season, and your team went to the World Series. Your last game before everything changed was September 9th, as I was doing my research. And it was a game where you got the win on a Sunday at Yankee Stadium against the Red Sox. I just want to start with where you were maybe the night before September 10th, and then your memories waking up that morning on September 11th.
Yeah, so really and truly, I'm not sure if you can't remember now, you know, asking that question right offhand, if we had a game against the Red Sox the night before, if it was an off day or whatever. But, you know, remember that September 11th morning, like it was yesterday, and obviously it was 20 years ago. I was asleep. I would imagine we had a game the night before because I was asleep in bed. My wife was already up. She had gotten our kids off to school already, or at least our oldest son, Josh, was in school up in New York. And we had two other kids at home, Jared and Lexi at that time. And Luke wasn't even born yet. But she woke me up. We got a call from one of our teammates' wives, Jennifer Bellinger, called her and said, "Are you watching TV?" And she said, "A plane has flown into the Twin Towers." And my wife ran into the room and come and woke me up. And, you know, we turned the TV on. And as we're watching the TV, just obviously in disbelief, you're sitting there seeing the tower, one of them on fire. And then all of a sudden you see another plane hit and the explosion. And right there, just watching that right as I woke up. And so just a very surreal moment. Obviously a scary moment trying to figure out what was going on. Like, you know, how could this happen? I mean, accident, you know, but then you see a second plane flight that we're under attack. And then of course the fear comes into play. My wife obviously is scared. We head to the schools to pick Josh up out of school, get him out of school. Obviously it was frantic there. All the parents getting their kids out of school and trying to get them back home and just not knowing what was going to happen, you know? And so, you know, that was kind of how that day started for us. And just my thoughts, you know, initially of what that day was like.
Where were you living? Were you near, you know, the city in terms of where the Twin Towers were hit? Were you, you know, some people live in New Jersey, some live in Connecticut. Where were you living?
Yeah. So we were out in Rybrook, New York, which is very close to Connecticut. We were 40 minutes away, probably 45 minutes away from the Twin Towers. So we were out, you know, a ways away. Never forget, we woke up, like I said, went and got my son from school. Obviously, the TV was on. The scenes during the course of that day started coming from, you know, people. And knowing that, you know, many people had died and had passed, and still just a tragic of seeing those things burn and then fall down. And, you know, so we took our kids out, you know, we had a park there in the townhome area where we lived, and we took all of our kids. Paul O'Neill, his family lived in the area. And we just kind of took our kids to the park to play, and the park kind of set up on a hill. And as we're out there at the park and we're 45 minutes away, almost up in Connecticut, New York, we could see the smoke, you know, from the fires out there. And so just being there and being that far away from it and just thinking about the chaos and the commotion that was going on down there is just it was a sad day. That's for sure.
So you're a baseball player, obviously, at that time with the Yankees, and you have a job to do. And I remember I was working at ESPN at that time, and we were told to just stay home on September 11th that day and then come in the next day, September 12th. And we did our radio show that I was producing. And really it was just having people on to share their own thoughts because everything was canceled or at least postponed for a little while. I'm wondering for you, like the aftermath, the day after, a couple days after, and just not knowing when you might have a game again, trying to, you know, comfort friends, family. What were those couple days after like for you? Because you're in the middle of a season and all of a sudden it just kind of stops.
Yeah, those were, you know, so my family obviously was obviously the primary concern of mine. So we were actually able, us and a few other players were able to get out on a plane the next morning. Got my family back to Houston. Just had, you know, three small kids, not knowing what was going to go on, what was happening. My wife wanted to be with her family. So we went back to Houston. We knew the Yankees had let us know that we were going to be shut down for a while. And just, you know, it was tough, you know, it was tough. Just glued to the TV 24/7, just glued to the TV. The aftermath of that, you know, and then of course, get back up to New York, and the organization did such a great job of you know, making sure we were there for the first responders and all, you know, wanted, you know, I know we're making trips down to the fire stations, the team meeting with the police, and just a time for, you know, I think the team just to try to encourage the city and encourage the fans. It was definitely right. A low, low spot. Everyone that you knew in New York that lived there knew someone that was obviously impacted by, you know, this tragedy. And so a lot of hurting was going on. And we knew that coming back, that the city was very excited for baseball. I think we were down for about 7 days, I think. I don't remember exactly. I know we started in Chicago just because there was still a lot of stuff going on there in New York. So we started our season back in Chicago, I believe, and then got back to New York. And what an emotional night, but what a very special night that first night was back in New York. And the way the city rallied around each other and around us and really – coming to a baseball game, give them 3 hours of something to think, get their mind off of what had happened, and to kind of smile, you know, and to come and have fun and to yell and to celebrate, hopefully the Yankees, you know, having a successful season that year. And of course, we were able to make it to the World Series. So it was a great year. And unfortunately, we weren't able to win that thing. And I know that was really, really, for each of us players, a huge desire. I mean, for that city to be able to win that World Series that year, we were really hoping to be able to do that.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, can you look back at that World Series? That was kind of a question I was going to ask in a little bit, but you brought it up. Can you look back at that World Series with good memories, even though you didn't win it? Because there were so many cool moments. That's when I think there were two walk-off home runs in that year, and Jeter became Mr. November, and so many amazing games in that series. Game 7, of course, was incredible, even though you fell short. Can you look back on that World Series with positive memories?
Well, you know, for me personally, you know, you look back and you, like you just said, there's a lot of great memories. And it was a great series. I went to Game 7. And as a team, we played really, really well. For me personally, it's really hard. That was a hard World Series for me. I lost two games during that World Series. And, you know, that was definitely difficult for me to deal with, knowing what had the city had been through and how badly we wanted as a team to win and how badly I wanted to, you know, bring a world championship to New York that year. And so obviously great moments, very fortunate to be in a World Series and so thankful and blessed for that. But personally, for me, just really, you know, it was really disappointing World Series. Like I said, I lost two, you know, I got the loss in two games and didn't perform like I would have wanted to. So that was a tough World Series for me personally, that's for sure.
This is the intersection of sports and faith. I have to imagine your faith, knowing it's a prominent role in your life, your faith affected maybe how you were thinking about 9/11. I know it did for me. I was a brand new Christian. I mean, I was 4 months into my walk in 2001, and it's September 11th. And I was starting to ask a lot of questions because I really didn't fully grasp like the decision I had made a few months earlier. For you, I know you have been a follower for a while, but what was that like going through 9/11, that experience, even coming back, and maybe how it affected your faith during that time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I accepted Jesus whenever I was 11 years old. So I'm a Christian for a while at that time, and family very involved in ministry there back in Deer Park as a young man and growing up through my college and pro minor league ball and pro ball. I was very involved in church work and ministry there. And so, yeah, so, but it still shakes you. There's no doubt about it. When you see that tragedy, that the question always is, right, you know, Lord, how can you let this happen? You know, and of course, things like that, catastrophic things like that will rock your faith. But as believers, we also know that we live in a fallen world. And we live in a sinful world. And when you have, you know, people that aren't you know, living for the Lord, and even people that are living for the Lord. Obviously, the Christian faith, being a Christian doesn't mean you're a perfect human being and you're not going to screw up and make mistakes. That's for sure. But there's evil out there, and we know that. The Bible talks about it, and we're always in a war spiritually. Satan wants to do nothing more than to destroy our lives, and does not want us walking and talking about Jesus. And so we know that as long as there's, you know, sin in this world, that bad things are going to happen. And there's, like I said, there's evil out there. And so, you know, and obviously 9/11 was a result, you know, of that.
Did you have a lot of opportunities, or even a couple maybe, where, because I felt like faith became more welcome to have a discussion about, I think, after 9/11, because you felt like the whole country was rallying around, you know, God bless America, and you saw flags everywhere, which is a good thing. But I think it also allowed for people to have real deep conversations about faith. Did you find that at all in your journey, whether it was in the clubhouse or just meeting different people?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And, you know, we always had Bible studies, led Bible studies while I played in New York, with guys on the team that were believers that wanted to get together and stuff like that. So it was definitely an opportunity, to be able to share your faith. And then, like you said, there was just so much willingness and openness to, you know, God help us, right? I mean, when something like that happens, that your initial reaction is God help us. And, you know, it's hard. I hate it for people that really don't have a personal relationship with God, you know, and doesn't have, you know, the Holy Spirit to be able to give you a peace to, you know, that passes just all understanding. And when you want to maybe turn to something else, that a lot of people do during hard times, where it's alcohol or drinking or, you know, sex or whatever it might be, you know, we know that those are the times we want to even cuddle up as a Christian, even closer to Jesus. Right. And have him, you know, put us in his arms and know that, you know, he's with us. I mean, there's so many, that's really the time as a believer that you really want to hang on to the words in the Bible and scripture. And there's just so much of it in there that talks about that, you know, don't be fearful, for he's with us, you know. And, you know, God's always going to comfort the mourning. You know, there's a lot of stuff in Jeremiah and Isaiah that, you know, in Psalms, obviously, just great scriptures that talk about how he's there for us. He's our provider. He's our rock. He's our strength. And, you know, he's a great God.
Take me back again. I know we're kind of going backwards a little bit, but that game, you were right, by the way, that first game that you guys returned to play after 9/11 was September 18th. So a week later, in Chicago, you're playing the White Sox. And I want to ask you again about the environment at Yankee Stadium in a second, but that night, that's the first time you're playing and you're in Chicago, you're on the road. It was weird still. Just watching sports kind of resume was strange for us as fans and as people who worked in the media like I was. What was that like for you getting back to baseball? Were you itching to get back, or was it still kind of, you know, a little bit of, I'm not sure here what we're doing, but, you know, we're back doing it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we were itching to get back. And then you'd be lying if you said that you felt like everything was A-okay. Because we had just been attacked, you know, a week before, and you're like, what are they going to do again? I mean, there's 50,000 people in the stands right now. You know, are we going to be attacked again? Right. And I really don't remember. I know it was weird. I don't really have a great memory of the Chicago series. You know, that obviously the series that really sticks out is being back in New York. You know, it was weird. It was definitely weird for a while. Just wondering if, you know, is something else going to happen? You know, they just hit our towers that, you know, they knew that thousands and thousands of people were in those buildings, and you kind of are they going to try to do something with thousands of people at?
Yeah. I remember watching that first Mets game, which I think was the first game in New York, when Piazza hit the home run against the Braves. And that was a big moment for New York fans to kind of rally around with the Mets. The first Yankee game, for you, and you've alluded to it a little bit. Can you kind of take us through that game a little bit? You don't have to know everything, obviously. There's so many games that you played, but that first time being back at Yankee Stadium after 9/11 had to be pretty amazing and special. Like you said, wanting to kind of provide a respite for the fans. What do you remember about that night?
Yeah, it was special. I mean, we were honoring, I believe, first responders. There was New York City's finest were there. You know, the police officers were there. The firefighters were there. I remember just, you know, coming to the stadium that day, I believe. And we had so many police officers and firefighters there. When we walked out of the clubhouse, they were there. They were lining the tunnels. Of course, President Bush was there that night. He threw out the first pitch, and what an unbelievable moment that was. Remember seeing him, you know, down in the batting cage, making sure he was getting his arm loose, and, you know, we were giving him a hard time saying, hey, you better throw a strike, you know, and he just stood up there as a proud, obviously, American and the president of the United States, and just threw an absolute perfect strike right down the middle to our catcher there. And the crowd just went crazy. It was just such a great night. There was not anybody booing. Everyone was standing, obviously, at that time. No politics involved. It was just like everyone loving, you know, America and what we stand for. And so it was amazing. It really was. And to just look in the eyes of the firefighters and the police officers and to know that those people were running into the buildings, right? And some of them lost their lives as everyone is running away. And it almost, you know, it gets you choked up, you know, just to see what we're going through right now. Even right now to this day, obviously, you know, pulling all of our troops out, but losing, you know, 13 soldiers here recently, it's just tragic. And you just really, it makes you appreciate our military. It makes you appreciate our police force and makes you appreciate our firefighters and their commitment to keeping us citizens safe. And I just don't believe you just can't thank them enough and you can't honor them enough. And that was it. But, you know, back to the New York and that night, it was an amazing night to see the president stand out there and throw a strike. Because like we said earlier, especially in New York, especially knowing the president was there, right? It's like, is something going to happen tonight? You know, I mean, how could they fly a plane into towers like that? I mean, are we safe here tonight? You know, but of course, you feel pretty good having all the security and all the police officers and firefighters and people that were there that night around you.
Yeah, everything changed after 9/11 in so many ways. A small little note for ESPN. There used to be 6 or 7 different entrances. I don't know if you've ever been up there in Bristol where we worked, but there used to be 6 or 7 different entrances into ESPN. After 9/11, it became one. And you had to go through and there was security there and everything. And that's a small change, but everything changed after that. The way that they do security at airports and everywhere, just even baseball games, right? And the way they let people into games now. But from a perspective of just you as a human being, Andy, you as a man of God, as a father, as a husband, what changed for you after that day, even all the way to leading 20 years later here, where we are now? When you think back, did anything change for you as a person, as a man of God that you are?
You know, I don't think, you know, really anything changed as far as in my walk or in my faith. Obviously, like I said, you kind of questioned, you know, God, why would you let this happen? There were so many good people, you know, that probably had passed away in that. But the biggest thing that changed for me was, you know, the respect for our military, for our police force, for our firefighters, for our first respond people. That really is. I mean, that, you know, you just put an emphasis on raising your kids and you know, knowing, letting them know that, look, you know, these people are the true heroes. And, you know, just... just so that we can have freedom here, right? I mean, we haven't had an attack yeah. over here in the last 20 years because of our military, because of, you know, the way that we have made sure that, you know, this has not happened again. And that it gives you just, it's a huge, huge thing for me. And I hope it is for all Americans that what we have here and the freedom that we have, and you can walk out, you can go to school, you know, whether you're a man or a female, you can, you know, make great strides in America, in this society. And it's not like that everywhere else. And we are so blessed. And so really, it's just the whole, just almost the patriotic part of just being American. And I mean, that's the biggest thing that came away from me, you know, with that, is just the respect that I will always have for our police, our firefighters, our military, and how I will always try to honor them the best that I can. And again, knowing that not everyone's perfect, you're going to have individuals that are evil in every area and walk of life, but for the most part, just them people are remarkable.
Andy, you were on our podcast as we wind down here, Get in the Game, which is Sports Spectrum's sister show. It's on our podcast network with our friends, our mutual friend, Scott Limebrink. And you were sharing in that podcast about 4 months ago or so, 4 or 5 months ago, how you were kind of going through it yourself and your family was going through some difficult times. And I'm just curious what you've learned from the Lord now that it's kind of been a few months out, you know, from going through all of that. What have you learned from God? What has he been showing you and teaching you, you know, these past few months, this past year? Because everybody's been going through it with COVID and everything else going on in the pandemic. You guys went through it a little harder. But what was some of the things, the lessons that maybe the Lord has taught you when you think back to these last 6, 8, 10 months?
Oh, man. You know, that's hard to really put my finger on exactly. I would say just really one thing is just be appreciative of the time you have with your family. In December, I lost my in-laws to COVID on the same day, both of them. Laura's parents were 84 and 81, I believe, maybe 80 years old. I could be getting that wrong. But Thanksgiving Day, they went into the hospital with COVID, and they both passed away on the same day in December. And so what a horrible, you know, time for us. And just, you know, the ones that you love, I mean, just, you know, celebrate them, enjoy the time with them. A few months later, a young lady that went to New York with us for 15 years to help us with our kids, had passed away, and she, you know, drank herself to death. She, you know, we got the reports back that she had, her blood alcohol level was through the roof, and she was going through a lot of stuff, and private and dealing with it herself without, you know, reaching out to others and stuff like that. And so, you know, another obviously very tough time, you know, immediately after losing Laura's parents, having to deal with that. We got in a bad wreck, Laura broke her arm, and we were pretty banged up. My daughter had a concussion. I got banged up pretty good. And so just, it's kind of been like one thing after another, you know, but, you know, again, you know, you realize that, you know, that, like I said before, that, you know, we know that this isn't our home. Heaven is our home as Christians and believers, and we look forward to that. You know, I'm here on earth right now, and we're going to live here and hopefully enjoy life and love life and love others and try to share Jesus with other people. But we know that as Christians that this God, you know, tells us that we're, it's going to be hard here, and there's going to be times of struggle and persecution sometimes if you're a believer, and heartaches and you know, it never promises us that we're going to, as Christians, going to have an easy life. And so really, I kind of just look to that. I know that, you know, life's always going to be hard. It keeps me in my Bible more, right? It keeps me on my knees more. It keeps me praying more. especially when you have kids and especially when you've got grandkids coming now, you know? And so it's just like, Lord, just, you know, constantly we're begging him to put his hands around our family and protect us and protect our country and keep us safe, you know? And because like I said before, you know, I'm not trying to beat a dead horse, but there's evil out there. And Satan wants to do nothing more than to disrupt and then to destroy Christian families and Christian people and that are trying to live for him to spread his word. So we know that there's a battle out there. And, you know, you just got a huge responsibility as men in this country, as men, as Christian men in our families, to lead our families in the right direction. And so that's what kind of, you know, those are the things that keep me moving forward. To know that I got three boys that I need to show, you know, strength and faith and what a Christian looks like during times of great times and during times of adversities. And I've got a daughter that I pray for. Hopefully there's a young man we'll be put in her life that will be lived his life the same way and lead her the way that she needs to be led. So, man, those are the kind of, I guess, things that I'm kind of just thinking about asking me that question.
Yeah, I have the same prayer for my daughter as well. She's 17, so we got a couple of years, hopefully. But yeah, I have the same prayer, Andy. So listen, I appreciate you, my friend, for coming on. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sharing your memories. And let's keep fighting for the Lord, my friend. Thanks for being here.
You bet, Jason. All right, buddy. Take care, man. God bless you.
And many thanks to Andy Pettit for being here today on Sports Spectrum, the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Just kind of crazy when you think about the fact that it's been 20 years, and we do apologize. There was a couple glitches in Andy's connection to us on our Zoom call, but we were able to have this conversation, and I thought it was a poignant one, you know, for Andy to look back 20 years ago. He was a 29-year-old pitcher in his prime with the New York Yankees on a run that the Yankees had been on that saw them win four World Series in 5 years, from 1996 to 2000, and they were in their fifth World Series in 6 years in 2001 before losing to Arizona. And it's interesting to think about that time. I mentioned in our conversation being at ESPN during that time, but I remember I was working September 10th at night, the night before, from 2 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night. And I think the Broncos and Giants were playing a Monday night football game on September 10th. And we were covering that game. You know, we went to bed, woke up the next morning, and I woke up probably around 8:30, which was my normal time. And I was getting ready to watch the recording from the night before. I used to watch the WWE Raw is War on Monday nights. And so I would record it and watch it Tuesday morning. And so I had the old VCR still at that time. And I went to push play. I went to get some breakfast. And I remember pushing pause on my taping of the WWE and went to the bathroom or something, went to get some breakfast, came back, and the tape had stopped because if it paused too long, it would just stop. And then when you had the VCR on, the TV was connected with it because you would record what was off of TV. And Channel 30 here in Connecticut, NBC 30 was on, and there was smoke coming out of one of the towers in the World Trade Center. And I sat there, had some breakfast, watched it, and I didn't move from my couch for the next 4 hours. I remember seeing the second plane go into the Trade Center and then what was happening at the Pentagon and, you know, what happened in Pennsylvania and the other plane going down and realizing that this wasn't good. And then the two buildings coming down just an hour and a half, 2 hours later. And by 11 a.m., literally 2 or 3 hours after all of this took place, the Twin Towers were gone. And I just remember shaking my head. I remember getting in my car and going for a drive around here in Bristol, Connecticut, where I lived, and just trying to comprehend what was happening, almost to escape what was happening. And I came home, and I remember my wife got a call to come home as well. And so she came home. I got a call from my bosses at ESPN, and they said, "We're not going to be on air today. So come in, be with your family tonight, and then come back in tomorrow." And like I told Andy, you know, September 12th, we did a radio show on ESPN that night with Chris Moore and Chuck Wilson. And we just had people on to kind of talk to us about what they were feeling and what they were going through and what they thought about all that was going on in our world. And like I said, it changed everything after that. It definitely makes you appreciate first responders. If you're listening, by the way, and you are a first responder or were a first responder, first of all, just thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for sacrificing all that you do to protect us. You're awesome. We love you. And we're so glad that that you have chosen to do what you do for service to others. So thank you for that. It also makes me think about all that we're going through right now, as Andy said, with COVID, with the pandemic, with what we went through last year, with all the race relations and the political divide. Let's just thank God for our blessings. Let's count our blessings and just thank him for all that he's done for us. We live in a great country. It's a very flawed country. It has some history that's very flawed as well. But we live in such a wonderful country that allows us freedoms that we shouldn't take that for granted. And to be able to also live in a country where we can worship freely and, you know, just be so thankful to Jesus for dying on the cross for us, right? The ultimate sacrifice. I'm just grateful. And so on this 20th anniversary of 9/11, I hope that you can just take a moment to reflect and take a moment to be grateful for the blessings that God has given us. Thanks for tuning in. We love you guys. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new episode of Sports Spectrum. And I hope you all have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.